asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances.
So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're talking 4-day work weeks, AI investing, and diamonds are for suckers.
Maybe a little AI investing, but we're actually going to talk about investing in AI.
And it's so hot right now. should you take all your money out of other investments and funnel it in that direction?
Yeah, and you mentioned diamonds. We're going to talk about gold a little bit today as well. This is our Friday flight where we're going
to know where the gold at, Matt.
We'll link to that video if you've never seen it.
It's under his mattress, by the way.
Man, I came across, it was a post about some of do you remember E-bombs World?
Yeah,
yes. Top videos from E-bombs. And there was one, the dance guy, this guy that does this incredible dancing. It still blows my mind when I see that thing. Like, it was a classic then. And I, even now, I'm just like, how? He was way ahead of his time. And if you're listening and you have no idea what I'm talking about, head over to the show notes because...
Does that site still exist?
I don't know, but I guess I saw...
Feels like a relic from a bygone era.
I'm sure I saw it on Instagram where they're just trying to appeal. It was a nostalgia play. Yeah. And like, you remember these videos that you watched while you were in college?
It was like the videos, and then it was also like the remixes of the videos, yeah, and the putting songs to it. And
I want to know where the gold's at. That's also a good one. But yeah, this is our Friday flight, and we're going to talk about personal finance stories, the most important ones that we think you should be paying attention to. And I feel like we're a little looser during this episode.
We had a break last week.
It was
fall break for our kids' school.
Did y'all have a good break?
Yeah, we went down to the beach. We actually fortunately had a free place to stay because my aunt let us borrow her spot, which was nice.
It's like the exact opposite of what we had.
You spent a lot of money because you took the kids to Disney, which I want to hear about in just 1 second. But I want to say that one thing that there's like this outlet mall right across from where my aunt's condo is.
Okay.
Literally right across the street. So we went over there and I realized, here's the thing. I've known this before, but this only cemented it in my brain. Outlet malls are kind of like a scam. The discounts are kind of bogus, and outlet malls seem like this place where you're going to get all sorts of great deals. You're going to buy things on the cheap. It's not really the case. Like, I even went into the North Face store while I was there just to check it out.
Nice.
Didn't buy a thing, but every single thing in the store was 50% off. So it's like these fake discounts. If you're a good shopper, you can get better prices elsewhere.
Did you whip out the phone, check any prices, or was it just that blatant?
It was that blatant.
Really?
It was.
Okay.
Well, and the other thing that's worth noting is lots of times these outlet stores, they sell inferior products, and you can tell based on looking at the tag. So it's not like it was something from last year.
Like J. Crew Factory.
Yeah, exactly.
Factory stuff. I feel like I've noticed that it's not as nice.
It's like irregular cuts and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so you have
cheaper
to be
material.
You have to be careful going to the outlet malls thinking you're going to get a good deal. One, it might not be a good deal, and two, it might be a crappy product.
Yeah. Okay. I'll share my quick fall break story. So we went to Disney. I think I mentioned that earlier in the year that we're finally going to do the Disney thing after y'all did it all summer. We're like, all right, maybe
we did it a lot, maybe too much.
Worth checking out. No, we had planned on going down there. I guess it was back in like February once we finished reading the Harry Potter stories, because we're like, all right, we've got to get down to Universal specifically to check out the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Why not tack on Disney?
And of course, while you're down there, but
that's how they get you.
Dude, we paid out the nose. It was so expensive, and we booked all this before we talked with Lynn Mettler about getting down there for cheaper. But we had a very specific time frame that we were shooting for. I guess I know we paid out the nose, but compared to what prices were, like, we looked up prices even as we're driving down for the same period of time. And I don't know if it was just because it was last minute or what, but it was significantly more expensive than when we had previously booked. Mm. And that got us to doing a little more exploring. And we're like, I wonder, like, when are the cheapest times to head down to Disney? When are the most expensive times? And we found that there can be a significant difference. If you are looking at, say, the shoulder season, you can expect to pay like anywhere between like 20 and 30% less, not only for lodging, but also for park tickets.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to peak season, which evidently, this makes sense after having gone to Disney, is around Christmas, because yeah, they evidently decorate like crazy for the holidays. Well,
the worst time to go is the middle of summer, because it's 110 degrees.
Then you're literally dying.
Yeah.
You have to pay for a hospital visit. But it can be 50% more expensive. So you can typically expect to pay 150% of the typical price.
Wow.
If you are looking at going during those coveted holiday weeks. And it makes sense, right? Because it's Christmas, no matter where you are in the world, yeah, basically, as opposed to going, say, on a fall break, which are staggered. Not all school districts have fall breaks, things like that. So
they don't overlap. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't overlap. So certainly try to, if you are considering not just traveling into Orlando, but anywhere, man, like, consider going when other people are not going, to make the most of your dollars.
For sure. Yeah, yeah. I'm glad y'all had a good,
oh, it was great,
good time. And I think one other thing worth noting, by the way, is that there are more deals on Disney tickets right now. Like, I've seen advertisements for $49 a day, which is crazy low for Disney. I think it's because their crowds are down and they're trying to bring more people back to the park. And so,
but even still,
they don't discount very often.
Believe.
Oh, it's still a sea of people.
It's a sea of people, and it's just a lot of money.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got six folks.
Yeah, that's true.
That you're paying tickets for.
Hey, you chose to have all those kiddos.
Hey, that's true.
All right, let's move on, Matt. Let's get to the Friday flight. A quick sampling of stories we found interesting this week. And let's start off by talking about 4-day work weeks, because I feel like this has become such a common topic of conversation these days. There's more and more in the news, but just kind of in like individual conversations about how much are we working and what's desirable, right? And one of the demands basically from the United Auto Workers Union, which like they're striking right now with the big three automakers. Well, one of the main concerns is around that very perk, right? They want to work 32 hours a week instead of 40. Some people think of 4-day work weeks as 4 10-hour days. But no, I think a lot of companies in certain tests around the world have actually gone to 4 8-hour workdays, and they've seen decent results. And there's this new survey from Bankrate, which finds that 89% of Americans would prefer to reduce their work week by a full day too, which makes sense, right? That folks would want to work less if all else, compensation and benefits, stayed the same. And more than half of those folks said they'd be willing to change jobs or even work in an entirely different industry in order to pull this off, in order to get one more day, have a 3-day weekend every single weekend.
Sure.
And I see the draw in this, right? You and I, we work really hard 4 days a week, and we pull a much more chill half day on Friday. We usually are in here.
Sometimes we'll even take Friday off.
Sometimes we take it all the way off. So lots of times it's 3 or 4 hours worth of work, though, where we put our heads together, start planning and stuff like that. But if anything, you and I were likely to cut back on the number of hours we work even more in the future. We're probably not going more nose to the grindstone, but trade-offs are the ultimate reality in life too, right? And while it can make sense in some industries and some folks can be just as productive, those trade-offs might also not be worth it for a lot of folks. They might see reduced benefits, reduced pay.
Yeah,
and so they might say, oh, less work sounds good, but then when the paycheck hits the bank account, I'm disappointed.
But that being said, it might be worth it to leave some money on the table in order to have more work-life balance, if that is what you're after. We are all for that. We are all for individuals choosing what it is that they want their lives to look like. But one of the things that stood out to in the survey to me was the fact that basically the 4-day work week was much more prioritized than the hybrid work environment, which according to that survey, came in a lot lower, which points out to me that it seems like at least folks are looking to create more of that separation of work and life, right? Like they're tired of like that work identity creeping into their daily lives where it feels like they're, you know, possibly
always on call.
Always. Yeah, exactly. And it just kind of muddies the water. And so in my mind, and I'm all for this as well, kind of having more of that division. But I think it also highlights the fact that folks are willing to actually go into the office. And I think individuals are starting to see the benefits of that. It's like, well, okay, I don't mind going in, if especially if it means I can go in for one fewer day. But there are certain benefits of going back into the office, right? Like the ability, just the social connection, socialization part of going in and hanging out with your
coworkers. Especially younger workers, it's good for their career in so
it's
many ways.
It's good from a networking standpoint. I truly think you're able to be more productive when you're able to meet in person as opposed to like the different Zoom calls and whatnot. But then there's just less temptation, I think, as well, right? Because when you're at home, you're like, oh, I'm gonna go do a chore. Let me go start laundry.
Yeah.
Real quick. Or let me go empty the dishwasher.
It all blends together. And so you're answering email at 9 p.m. at night in your PJs when if it was just all in office or when you were at home, you were home, then you wouldn't have that conundrum.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. I guess that stood out to me that it seems like more folks are interested in switching to that 4-day work week if that means that they're totally on working hard for those 4 days, but then they can do whatever they want on that Friday off if that's the option that they're going to take. But I think it comes down to, I guess, knowing what it is that you're looking for and just advocating for yourself and trying to find a way to make it clear to your employer, to your boss, to your manager, that this is something that's definitely possible as long as you're able to get the work done.
It's always fascinating to me that British economist John Maynard Keynes, he wrote in 1930 that his grandkids were going to be able to have 15-hour work weeks. And I get where he was going, that the way that things were trending when it came to productivity and income growth were like, hey, if people kind of keep their living standards roughly the same, they can dial back on work substantially and have a lot more leisure time. But the thing is,
a big old if,
our desires have kept up with our rising paychecks.
Sure.
And so like our prosperity as it increases, we want to partake more in that instead of having and being able to and paying for more of that leisure time. And by the way, I think too, it's worth mentioning that some people, the Elon Musks of this world, who don't really have, I think, many pleasures outside of all the work they do, that is, those people benefit the world in so many ways. Also, electric cars, space travel, that kind of stuff, right? And so I think entrepreneurs and certain individuals will continue to grind to build great stuff, and they'll benefit more financially from it. There are always trade-offs. And so the call for the 4-day work week, that desire, I get it. But it's often going to come with strings attached.
Yeah. And like you said, the ability for us to keep our desires in check, I think that is oftentimes what keeps us from realizing more leisure time, like more time that we own fully. We're basically buying too much junk. I saw a recent stat, like over 60% of all online purchases originate with Amazon specifically.
Wow.
And so we wanted to share this story. Project Nile, evidently this is Amazon's new AI initiative. There's some stories leaking about that this week. And so up until this point, it seems that AI, like that it's mostly been a benefit to like content creators, right? Like some writers out there, they've used the large language models to craft introductory paragraphs on articles they're writing. Programmers, coders, they've certainly taken advantage of it. Graphic designers have used it for image generation. That's actually one of the ways I've used it for us to create little graphics for our podcast.
You show me every time because you're still fascinated by the way it infills graphics.
It blows my mind. Like it's crazy how well it works. But we're starting to see retailers now jumping on board, trying to use AI in order to make your shopping a better experience, right? So that these retailers can make better suggestions for you. They just want to be able to curate and take care of you.
Which
of course,
is so sweet,
of
right?
Of course, so that you're going to spend more money. I'm really curious to see what this is going to end up looking like in the real world. But I'm nervous about all the ways that AI is going to be implemented to part us from our money. I'm curious to see how pervasive it's going to become and how it's going to impact us. Like, because it makes me think about how I shop online. I love it, right? Because the ability to get on a browser, to go to Google Shopping, to go to eBay, or, you know, we use Amazon. You type in the
object. Or Target or Walmart. Yeah. I mean, there's a billion places that people shop online.
But you search it, you find it, you compare some prices, you make the purchase, and then you're done. I'm saying you, but me. Like, this is how I use it, as opposed to, I think back to the in-shopping experience, which for me is terrible, man. Like, you have to walk past all the different displays, and all of a sudden there's all these things in front of you that you didn't know you needed. And granted, they do that with ads mm-hmm. and how they position items when when you're on a site like Amazon, but it still seems like that the pendulum had been swinging towards the consumer when it came to online shopping there for a while, but it feels like it's starting to swing back in the direction of retailers, where they're able to harness technology and specifically AI to potentially get us to spend more money than we would have otherwise, right? Yeah. Like you mentioned Target, like they are the best at getting folks to buy stuff that they weren't planning to buy in the actual physical store, because of the way they've positioned items and how they are. They're just really good at that. And so that's the part of using AI that companies like online retailers that I don't like.
It's that little $1, $2, $3 section right there at the very front of every Target store. And my wife and kids, they beeline for it. I'm always like, oh, no, let's keep moving. Let's go for the thing that we came here for. But you're right. Like that is a form, a real world form of it. But this new AI model that Amazon's about to dump on all of us, like, how's that going to impact our spending? I can see it going up.
And evidently in January is when we can be on lookout for that.
And something happening in next week is Prime Day number 2 this year. They do 2 Prime Days a year. So be careful too, because they're going to like spit deals out at you. They're going to try to be emailing you notifications on your phone. Turn all that stuff off. If there's something you're really looking to buy, maybe you'll get a deal on Prime Day. But don't buy stuff just to buy stuff. That is a big problem that we face as individuals these days, right? As these companies are tugging on our wallets all the time. And on the note of AI too, Matt, I feel like it can be used for good or bad. Like you highlighted some of the good ways and some of the bad. But there were stories going around this week about deepfakes that involved Mr. Beast, the YouTuber, and Tom Hanks.
The iPhone giveaway.
Yeah, $2 iPhones or whatever. And then Tom Hanks like apparently shilling for some dental company or something like that. And he's like saying, no, it's not me. I think one of the hosts of CBS Mornings, Gail King, she also had something like that happen to her. Deepfake audio and video. Think about how much audio exists of your voice and my voice, Matt. People could use our voices, create a bunch of fake nonsense.
They're going to hear you reading for Wells Fargo.
I know. Yeah, they could reach. They could spam people like no nobody's business. So it feels like we're entering this brave new world with AI at the center of it, and it's just really important for our listeners, for consumers out there, to protect themselves, to be aware that not everything you see is real life.
That's true. Yeah. And we're in a constantly changing world, right? And the technology is always going to be advancing. And at the end of the day, I think it's going to come down to us as individuals asking, is this too good to be true? In particular, when somebody's trying to part you with a couple bucks.
$2
like,
iPhones.
How many individuals can we dupe into sending us some money?
Yeah. You've seen the price on that new iPhone?
Sounds a little too $1,200, good to be
true. Not $2. Sorry. Although I will say Mr. Beast is always giving away free money.
Like, I know.
That's, you're like, really?
That's the hard part, is that he actually... It does kind of align with how he tends to operate.
But if you're not seeing him in person, then he's not giving you the money, because he wants to video it for his YouTube channel. Yeah. So like, he was like literally on a college campus and said, how much do you pay for tuition this year? And the dude was like, oh, $14,000. He's like, here's $20,000. Pay it and have a little extra. And that's like the kind of stuff he does, but he doesn't really do it through like Instagram.
Yeah. Okay. So we've kind of been highlighting AI. Let's talk about AI in the light of investing, because there are more funds, more ETFs and mutual funds out there billing themselves as investing in AI related companies. And these funds, though, are expensive as all get out. Humble Dollar, they took some of these AI funds to task in a recent piece. They basically highlighted their lofty expense ratios combined with the reality that they're actually not all that different from some of the current tech funds that already exist.
It's all marketing, baby.
Yes, yeah. So if you are planning on investing in specialized funds like this, be sure to check out which companies they're actually investing in. Because Vanguard, like, they've got a technology ETF with a far smaller expense ratio that has many of the same holdings. And honestly, a lot of the holdings, like the biggest holdings are
Apple.
Biggest companies. Yes, are companies that are in the S&P 500 anyway.
Yeah.
And so there's really no need to jump on a tech ETF to begin with.
But it sounds so sexy, because you know AI is the future, and you're seeing all this other stuff coming out.
It's the new ESG.
Yeah.
It's the new environmental social governance.
So hot right now.
It's like, is it actual? Well, I feel like it's on its way out now, because that folks, it's like, oh, is it AI? But what are the actual qualifiers that allow a company to be included in an ESG fund, because we saw this last year when there's ExxonMobil, when they get included in an ESG fund, but then the likes of Tesla are excluded, it tells you that, oh yeah, maybe there's something else going on. It's not truly just about the environment.
And did Apple get included just because of those janky goggles they put out? I mean, come on, really? And are people actually buying those and using those? If you are one of those people, I would love to hear from you. I'd love to know your experience. Okay, but let's talk about something else you could invest in, Matt. Something else that I would say is silly that you could invest in, and it's gold bars. Turns out, one of our favorite companies, Costco, is selling gold bars directly on their website.
We love Costco. Don't necessarily love gold bars.
I'm fine with them doing this, but it's probably not, doesn't probably make sense for you or I or most of our listeners to buy them.
Going back to marketing and branding and labeling, it's the marketing thing. It's like the $32,000 bottle of scotch that they sold, or you could buy like the 70-pound wheel of
cheese,
Parmesan Reggiano.
That's right.
Yeah, it's that whole thing.
You can go overboard by some Costco, that's for sure. Well, apparently they're selling out like instantly when they put these up there, probably because it's cheaper to buy a gold bar there than almost anywhere else. But we like, even though we like Costco, you're not going to find us buying gold bars from them.
No.
And it's not because the price isn't right. It's because Costco really is selling these gold bars for about as cheap as you can find them, barely more expensive than the spot price of gold right now. But still, don't buy these gold bars from Costco, because storing gold is a pain in the butt. If you put it under your mattress, it's all lumpy and you're not going to get a good night of sleep anyway. Selling it is another pain in the butt. And so you've got to ask what the purpose of that gold is before you buy it. The truth is, owning gold is a pessimistic play. It's banking on the fact that you think the economy is going to go in the toilet, and you think that this piece of metal is going to help save your bacon and prevent some of the losses you might otherwise experience. Optimists, though, should bet on people and ingenuity, not on a shiny piece of metal. This is, Matt, something I think we're going to see more of as we see more predictions of doom and gloom in the economy. I'm not saying we won't enter a recession. We might. But for long-term investors, the stock market is still a far better place to stick your money than gold bars under your mattress that you buy at Costco.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So on the note of precious natural resources that are expensive, let's talk about diamonds here for a second. We talked about lab-grown diamonds before, but it turns out that, I guess, natural diamonds or mined diamonds, the prices of those are going down fast because of how quickly consumers are getting used to. They're cozying up to lab-grown diamonds, and that's because they're physically identical to mined diamonds, and they don't come with the same ethical baggage or the same cost. I think it's something like roughly half the cost of a naturally mined diamond. You can get a lab-grown, a synthetic diamond. But
and apparently, even experts who look through those fancy little monocle things to check.
It's hard to tell.
You can't spot the
differences.
Definitely
not to the naked eye.
Yeah.
And so this makes me want to ask you, if you were going to propose to Emily, if you were going to buy an engagement ring.
I would totally go lab grown.
I totally would too.
Yes.
Like
I'm actually thinking about taking the real diamond out of it while the prices are still high, selling it and getting a lab grown diamond to replace it.
And getting a larger
lab grown. I'm not
going
to do that. But I upgraded you.
I just hate the way that sounded coming out of your mouth. It just sounds so gross. But I totally wish,
I
think back and I'm like, I can't believe.
They weren't a thing, they were in the infancy at least.
Yeah, and it, when they did come up, it was the CZs, right? Like the
Cubic zirconia. Which is a far cry from lab-grown
diamonds.
Actual diamonds
that are lab-grown.
Yeah.
So I don't know, we just wanted to throw that out there, that the market seems to be tanking when it comes to precious stones. And not that you would buy a diamond anyway as an investment, but sometimes you're able to brainwash yourself into saying that, oh, no, this is an investment in our future. But instead, we would most definitely recommend considering a lab-grown diamond instead.
Sometimes the diamond sellers will hand you like a booklet that goes with your diamond.
Oh, yeah.
That says that it's worth
they have
like,
to educate you.
Well, and it also says, oh, it's worth three times as much as I'm charging you for it. And that's for insurance purposes, but it's not really worth that much. Like if they're selling it to you for a third of the price of what they say it's worth, well, it's worth what they're selling it to you for, or maybe even less. So you got to be careful about that. And by the way, we're actually going to talk more about investing, DIY investing. We're going to get into kind of some nuanced, interesting specifics with Paul Merriman next week, who talks about the two-fund strategy.
The way that you should invest your money, not
we just talked
in
about
gold
a dumb,
bars
a bunch
and diamonds.
Of, yeah, and AI funds. We talked about a bunch of dumb ways just
avoid
just
all
now.
That.
But if you're like, well, then how do I do it on the positive front? Well, we'll talk about that more next week when we interview Paul. But Matt, we've got more to get to on this episode, including the marry the home, date the rate phenomenon. A lot of people are being convinced to buy a home, even with interest rates being higher, thinking they're going to be able to make a change, save themselves a lot of money in the future. Is that going to be the case? We'll talk about that and more right after this.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simons on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Spring cleaning is kind of an annual rite of passage. We've all got to do it, minimize the junk that we have in our house. Emily and I, we just cleaned our closets out. It took hours, but it was so worth it. Now we've only got stuff in there that we love, and it's easier to find everything too. And so, you know, while cleaning your closets is helpful, well, there's something else you can do for your family this spring. Shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius, for example, is a really important part of your financial planning for the year.
That's right. Yeah, and here is the thing that's important to remember, because you might be thinking you don't need to check out Policy Genius because you've got a policy through work. But even if you have a life insurance policy through your job, it may not offer you enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies, and that means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
Save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
All right, buddy, we're back. Let's keep talking about money. And it is now time for the ludicrous headline of the week. And this one comes from Insider, all right?
Formerly Business Insider.
You ain't got to say that.
They shortened the name.
Just call it Insider.
It's like Dunkin' Donuts. Now it's Dunkin'.
It's just Dunkin'. Oh, speaking of...
It's not Starbucks anymore. It's Bucks.
Is it this week?
That was a lie.
Or next week that the Shaquille O'Neal-owned Krispy Kreme that's burned down twice...
Oh, is it coming back?
Yeah, it's going to reopen.
Hooray.
I can't remember if it's this week or next week.
I don't really drive that part of town very much anymore, but if I'm there, I'll pick you some up.
Absolutely. All right, here is the headline from Insider. Tourist outraged by her $1,000 restaurant bill called the police after her group was served nearly 8 pounds of Alaskan king crab. By the way, this happened in Singapore, which is a notoriously expensive country. But evidently, the waiter apparently suggested this expensive dish that comes with a very expensive meat.
Yeah.
Didn't necessarily explain how the billing was going to work and that the cost, it wasn't for the entire dish, I guess. It was per gram.
Well, you got to imagine of meat. The cost of Alaskan king crab in Singapore far exceeds the price of Alaskan king crab here in the States.
I'm guessing so.
It's from Alaska, you know?
The tourist, though, she said that she wasn't notified about the price ahead of time. And I'm not going to lie, it annoys me when a waiter tells me the special but doesn't mention the price. But of course, if it sounds delicious and I'm interested, I'm going to ask how much it costs before I place my stinking order. I feel like this is one that falls squarely on the the tourist in this case. And here's the other part.
Do your due diligence.
Yes, absolutely. You don't just like blindly. I mean, if you've got the kind of money to where you're just like, yeah, bottle service, make it happen. Like that's, you don't ask questions at that point. But for the rest of us peons, us peasants, you gotta ask the price. The other note is that this tourist was from Japan. And so I don't know if there's some sort of
different
like
cultural norm.
Yeah, like a cultural difference there. But you have to, man, you got to advocate for yourself. Like, you, and it's just one of the...
I don't order anything without knowing the price.
Well,
first.
And it just blows my mind, too, that...
Same thing when it says market price on the menu.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
Like, what does that mean? What is the price today?
But from a cultural standpoint, it does make me wonder. Like, the fact that she thought it was illegal and that she should call the police as opposed to knowing that, no, this is something that you have to look after yourself. Like, we're not going to turn to police or a government agency. Like, nobody cares about your money as much as you do. And so ultimately it comes down to us as individuals.
Yeah. And there was work she should have done on the front. I think the restaurant kindly gave her even some a discount on the back end.
Yeah, I saw that.
After the fact, which was really nice. But yeah, if I really want crab legs and they're overpriced, I'm probably going to go with the burger instead. Like, those are the kind of decisions you make. But you got to ask, you got to get the information before you place the order. That's just weak sauce as a customer. And I will say that the waiter as well, please, I really appreciate it. When you tell me the price, when you name the specials, do that. That should be a thing.
Well, what if it was a high-end place where sometimes there are folks who are ballers and they're not required.
Okay, well, I guess maybe if they're the kind of places I don't hang out. But I would like to know when you're saying it just makes it, it does make it a little awkward. I'm willing to enter into that awkwardness because I'm not going to order something when I don't know the price. But tell me the price when you're naming the special, especially if there's like two. Just say, oh, this is $38. Oh, this is $29.
I mean, market rate today is whatever.
Please.
Exactly.
Do that when you're
explaining. Well, it comes down to just money being taboo, right? And so the more we talk about it, the more we're able to make it less taboo and it's less awkward for anybody to ask what the price of something is.
All right, Matt, let's move on. Let's talk about Finfluencers for a second. And the truth is, you and I, we like democracy. We think it's great. And
Forget Singapore. I don't know. Actually, I don't even know if Singapore's a democracy.
I think they're close. Yeah. So, but like when things get democratized, we talk about like the democratization of investing, how anybody can do it. And for the most part, that's been a really good thing. Although there are some buzzsaws that people can run into now that it's so darn accessible. But it's not always good. And the truth is everyone has their ability to make their voice heard these days. And so it turns out that we're drowning in a sea of useless content. If you scroll Instagram, which I try to avoid, I've never really been on TikTok, it seems like you could scroll for hours and be dumber kind of at the end of it. But there's this article in CNBC about how tax professionals are trying to combat factually incorrect assertions that are happening all over social media on the tax advice front. But it's kind of like playing whack-a-mole because there's so many dummies out there saying dumb things on these channels. And so the tax experts, they talked about how there's often a kernel of truth in the TikTok or the Instagram reel, but it's either misleading or those folks are making outright false statements. And it can be misleading by the fact that like you're saying one thing, but you don't really fully understand exactly how something works. And we've always said, Matt, that there are some really good and thoughtful creators in the social media space. But the medium makes it hard to convey nuance, and that's especially true for a complicated and individually specific topic like taxes, not to mention the fact that anybody can get on there and say whatever they want, and you have to be discerning. Again, I feel like this episode's all about individual discernment, but you have to be discerning who you're listening to, how far you're taking their advice, whether or not you're double-checking other sources first before you act, and we encourage that for this show. Like, take our advice, hopefully, as part of a fact-gathering mission, not as like, well, Matt and Joel said it, so I'm doing it.
Sure, absolutely. All right, so speaking of being led astray, folks are being convinced that they'll be able to refinance if they buy a home now at a higher rate. This is going to your,
marry the home, date the rate
phenomena. A new report from U.S. News found that 82% of recent home buyers were told that they could buy now and refi later. Real estate agents, loan officers, they're the main culprits here. They're the main groups of folks who are spreading that information, which is, it's kind of true, but it's not really giving folks all of the facts because half of the folks were convinced that they'll be able to refinance that new mortgage in under a year, which is highly unlikely. Well, I guess you could refi, but not necessarily at a lower rate. And 13% of folks said that they won't be able to continue making payments if they aren't able to refi in the future, which is not a position you want to be in. You don't want to have to be relying on the best case scenario happening mm-hmm. in order for you to stay put in the home that you just purchased.
It's kind of like buying a home and saying, oh, the numbers make sense if I rent it out on Airbnb. Well, you want to make sure the numbers make sense if you can't rent it out on Airbnb too, just in case the laws change in your local municipality.
Exactly. Given the unpredictability of not only that platform, but yeah, what might be happening there wherever it is that you live. And by the way, let's kind of touch on the interest rates, mortgage rates, because like the anomaly isn't where mortgage rates are currently, right? Like at 7.5%. I think I Googled 30-year mortgage rates right now, and like the Google provided chart now, mm-hmm. I saw it crest 8% for the first time, I'd never seen, which is mind-blowing to actually see rates that high
and
now.
And it's shocking, which is why people are like, well, I can't wait for them to come back down. But that's just not guaranteed.
It's not guaranteed because, so like folks are saying, well, this is just a crazy time to buy, but we don't necessarily know that. But what we do know is that the decade or so where rates were in the twos and the threes, that based on historical data, that was the anomaly. And while the Fed, they didn't raise rates at their last meeting, but they did indicate that rates are likely to stay higher for longer. A lot of economists are pointing to that fact that they may not be as high as they are now, but get used to higher rates for longer than maybe you were expecting.
Yeah. Which, again, when you're buying a house, if you're banking on being able to refinance into a lower rate, lowering those monthly mortgage payments, well, don't bank on it, because consider it gravy on top. If you're able to lower your mortgage interest rate by a point and a half, a year and a half from now, but I wouldn't buy the home assuming that you're going to be able to do that. Despite what the mortgage broker or your real estate agent says, know that that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, and hopefully that's the case.
It might become reality, but it might not.
May not.
Yeah. Being house poor is just no fun. And no. You know, given the spread between rents and the average mortgage payment these days, lots of folks are still better off renting, especially in some of those more expensive cities. I was looking at a couple of West Coast cities today, and it's like, 0% of the time is it better off for you financially to buy a home versus rent, and the spread can be thousands of dollars a month. Think about what you can do with that. Like, you could try to shoehorn yourself into a mortgage and buy, and for some people it still makes sense, but renting is looking a whole lot better for a whole lot of folks.
Yeah, and there's a lot of great rent versus buying calculators. Oh my gosh. I was going to say a lot of different great calculators out there, and I was going to mention, when are they going to update the default rate when you go to the rent versus buying calculator? Because, man, doesn't it feel like salt in the wound when you go there and it's just like
four, and you're like,
what? Yeah, the assumed mortgage interest rate is like 3.5%. You know, anybody that's considering it sees that, and then wouldn't that just make you mad?
Oh, yeah.
So all the folks who are in charge of managing those websites, go ahead and update those. That's default rates.
Put it on your to-do list.
Yeah, but that's going to be it for our Friday flight today. We hope everyone has a great weekend, and we will see you back here on Monday with a brand new Ask How to Money episode.
Yeah, and don't forget Paul Merriman coming up on Wednesday. The dude is a fountain of information. Uh-huh. He's been in the investing space for like 60 plus years.
His whole life.
Yeah.
Basically.
Can't wait to have that conversation with a guy who's basically a pioneer who met with the venerated Jack Bogle at one time. So we'll talk with him on Wednesday. But Matt, that's going to do it. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out. Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.